This word I want to share this morning might come across as heavy. And sometimes I wish I could be one of those preachers that could just preach that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I listened to some prophetic words that I received in 96, 97, 98 the other day on tape, cassettes. I couldn't believe I had them still. And so often I heard the same phrase that the Lord was speaking to me, that I'm going to share words that's going to be in season, but it's not always going to be nice words. So I'm just going to share with you the word of God this morning. And I want to share a word on it's a Greek word, doulos. And we see this word so many times. In actual fact, I'll tell you how many times we see this word in the Bible. We see this word, the word doulos, as it's used 124 times in the New Testament in 117 verses. We see it in the Old Testament as it's translated into Greek 294 times. So if you have an ESV Bible, you can go check this out right in the front of your Bible. Yes, I got a new Bible. I've been blessed. I've got a new Bible. I have to show out of my Bible. But right in the front of your Bible, where the translators are talking and they give you in the preface, then you will see that they use this word, doulos, that this word is always translated as either servant or bondservant. For the mere fact that the word slave sounds so harsh, that in America, slavery was a bad thing. But every time that it's used as slave, really. So when you read servant or you read the word, and I'm going to show you now, then you should actually read the word slave, because that's what God's called us to. Now you're going to say, but I'm no longer a slave. Bethel says so. You are a slave to righteousness. But let's look at something together. I want to read you guys a poem. There was this lady, her name is Mabel Williamson. She was a missionary to China who powerfully described the sacrifice of her rights to a normal standard living, ordinary safeguards, health, private affairs, marriage, and even a home. She wrote a book and she called it Have We No Right? That's what she said. And this is the poem that she wrote in this book. And she says, he had no rights. He had no rights. No rights to a soft bed and a well-laid table. No rights to a home of his own, a place where his own pleasure might be sought. No right to choose pleasant, congenial companions, those who could understand him and sympathize with him. No right to shrink away from filth and sin, to pull his garments closer around him and turn aside his walk in cleaner paths. No right to be understood and appreciated. No, not by those upon whom he had poured out a double portion of his love. No right even never to be forsaken by his father, the one who meant more than all to him. His only right was silently to endure shame, spitting, blows, to take his place as a sinner at the dock, to bear my sin in anguish on the cross. He had no rights. And I? A right to the comforts of life? No, but a right to the love of God for my pillow. A right to physical safety? No, but a right to the security of being in his will. A right to love and sympathy from those around me? No, but a right to the friendship of the one who understands me better than I do myself. A right to be a leader amongst men? No, but the right to be led by the one to whom I have given my all. Led as a little child with its hand in the hand of its father. A right to a home and dear ones? No, not necessarily. But a right to dwell in the heart of God. A right to myself? No. But oh, I have a right to Christ. All that he takes, I will give. All that he gives, I will take. He my only right. He the one right before which all other rights fade into nothingness. I have full right to him. Oh, may he have full right to me. I want you to hear these words again. And I want to ask you if you can honestly say these words with me this morning. All that he takes, I will give. And all that he gives, I will take. He, my only right. Is Jesus enough? That's my question this morning. Is Jesus enough for you? Or is there things in your life that you're still aspiring to, things that you still want? Because this morning I want to come before you and I want to bring this treatise before you and say to you that each one of us have been called to be a slave. Each one of us have actually been called. Let's use that word bond servant then this morning. Look with me in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 13. Let's have a look quickly. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay away. God is calling us servants. You would know that story. There's something that God has called us, and he's telling the story that each one of us are servants. God has put his servants in charge. John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. Where is Jesus right now? I want to ask you. Where is he right now? What is Jesus doing right now? Because you should be there with him. As a servant that he has placed in charge on planet Earth, you should be with him. And this word doulos is really to be bound to your master. In other words, you'll see just now that wherever Jesus moves, I can't move anywhere else. I've got to be with him. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. John chapter 13, verse 14, 15, and 16 says this. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Jesus is the ultimate example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord, with ourselves as your doulos for Jesus' sake, as your slaves. I want to say to you that you're in good company this morning. Galatians, Philippians, Titus, James, Peter, Jude, all of these names, all of these, Moses was a servant of God, Joshua, David, Peter, James. Most of these books start off, James, a bondservant or a slave of Christ Jesus. Jude, a bondservant or a slave. Maybe pop up Jude chapter 1 verse 1 if you have it there for me quickly. Then you'll see. Jude, a servant, a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James to those who are called beloved in God, the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. The prophets are called slaves, really, in the Old Testament. And I want to say, ideally, every single believer. All that he takes, I will give. All that he gives, I will take. He, my only right. So let's look at this word doulos this morning. And it means it's an individual bound to another in servitude and conveys the idea of the slave's close binding ties with his master, belonging to him. He's obligated to, and he has a desire to do the will of the one that he's in service for. Are you willfully serving Jesus? Is my question this morning. Are you willfully laying down your life and the desire to do His will in a permanent relation with Him? Because if Jesus has called you a son and a daughter, if Jesus has called you, that moment when you have surrendered your heart to Jesus, you are bound to Him because He has bought you. Well, look now, maybe let's have a quick look. In Romans chapter 6, from verse 15 to 23, you guys can go read it at home. And he talks about what then? He starts off, Paul is reasoning, he's talking about sin and he's talking about forgiveness. He says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He says, no, my friends, in actual fact, by no means. If you are under the grace of God, you should stop sinning. You should not walk in the ways of the flesh anymore. Then he talks about that you've been obedient yourself to one as obedient slaves. You are slaves of the one whom you obey. He's using this word doulos over and over. It's only the, most probably in this portion, it's conveyed the best. But I want to jump down to verse 22. If we can just jump down to the, let's read 21. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. He's talking about sin. So it just leads to shame and death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it ends in eternal life. In other words, he says, you have been saved by grace. You are walking by grace. That's called sanctification. And the end will be eternal life. That's what Paul is reasoning here. He says, but that is when you are stuck to the master, that you can't move away from him. When Jesus moves, then you move. When Jesus stays, then you stay. See, the will of the doulos is consumed in the will of the master. Is your will, and like I just prayed and said, not my will, but yours be done. Can we pray that? Because those are dangerous prayers when we say that. Lord, your will done, you know, but to a certain extent. Just don't send me to, you know, Outer Mongolia to go minister to people there. You know, or something like that. We pray these things, but we kind of like, your will, Lord, but not all of it. Because we know if we start praying this prayer, it is dangerous because anything can happen in our lives. And the slave knew that. If the master wanted to kill him, he could. But the master is gracious. There's this beautiful picture that once in 7 years, slaves could be set free. In the Hebrew context. And they could do whatever they actually got money out. They got everything. They could go. But then some of these slaves, they are so bound to their master and so in love with their master that they would come back. They would literally put their ear, hear me out now. They would literally put their ear against the doorpost of the master and they would stand there. Then the master would bring a long awl, a long nail, and literally nail it through his ear into that doorpost. And for 3 days, he would stand there without water, without food. He would stand there with this thing through his ear. On day 3, the master would come back and he would literally put a brass ring in his ear and he would be called the bond servant then. A free man by choice. And that's exactly what Jesus did. On the cross, he was nailed to the cross. For 3 days he hung. He died. He went and he actually got the keys of death and Hades in those 3 days. And he came out triumphant and victorious, and he was free. And here's the thing, my friends, is that you and I, we make that decision. The moment that we say, yes, Lord, that's actually what we are saying, that I am a slave to God. The Jews have a name for God, Adonai, which means master. It is the highest form of God's name that any Jew can read. And no Jew may even read that name in the original Hebrew context if he doesn't have a covering on his head. If he sees that name, then he needs to stop and he needs to step away and he needs to say Hashem, which means his name. That's all he can say. He can't say that name because it is, that is the biggest, the most awesome name of God. And they realize that they are bound to God. Each one of us, that's what a doulos is. A bondservant is one who surrenders wholly to another's will. And thus, they are devoted to another to, and then also disregard their own interests. So what are we devoted to? As a church, what are we devoted to? We're devoted to the word of God. We're devoted to prayer. We're devoted to breaking of bread. We're devoted to fellowship. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. That's what we are devoted to. We are devoted to one another, the Bible says. Because that's what Jesus wants. See, Paul and Timothy were not their own, but they've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. They were now the property of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were slaves exclusively to him. See, Matthew chapter 6 tells us no man can serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6. Do you have it? Is it 5 or 6? 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one. There's that word again, devotion. To the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. So what is your master? Who's your master? Are you dependent upon him? Are you obedient to him? See, Paul and Timothy was an example to each one of us. For every believer in every age. You see, in the Greek culture, doulos usually referred to the involuntary permanent service of a slave. But the use in the epistles of Paul and Peter elevates the meaning of doulos to the Hebrew sense, which describes a servant who willingly commits himself to serve a master he loves and respects. He comes back. I mean, think about it. You've served your master well. And he says to you, you're free to go. What would you do? You get a nice little lump sum paid out. Yes, I'm going to buy myself a little house on the Riviera. And we're going to just, you know, a little boat, a little this, a little that, and just retire. Or would you come back and say, I want to be a slave to you again. This time free, by my own choice. And that's exactly what you do when you say, yes, Lord. You have a choice. Nobody has forced you to come to Jesus. You have a choice. You have free will. And when you say, yes, Lord, that's exactly what you're saying. You've got to be where your master is. See, in Roman times, slavery was so extensive that in the early Christian period, one out of every two people were a slave. From at least 3000 BC, captives in war were the primary sources of slaves. Hence the fact that slavery was such a bad thing and the bad connotation to it. And that's why the Bible translators use the word servant or bond servant. So it speaks about submission to one's master. See, a doulos, to be honest with you, my friends, has no life of his own. No will of his own, no purpose of his own, no plan of his own. What's your will doing? What's your purposes? Are they aligned with Jesus? What's your plans? The Bible says very clearly, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that will prevail for that man. God is the one that orders your footsteps. God is the voice that will be behind you saying, this is the way, my son and daughter, walk in it. How will I walk? Clearly is this, the word of God. That's what I use every single day. This is my map. This is my lamp unto my feet. Jesus, it's just you, Lord. You see, the bondservant's every thought, every breath, and effort was subject to the will of his master. We are absolutely surrendered and totally devoted to his master. Absolutely surrendered. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Acts chapter 20, 28 says this. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Paul is talking to me, to churches, to take care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. There's a price, my friends, that he paid. This is what we partook in. This is the price. His body that was broken. And his blood that was shed. Hebrews 9:12. He entered once. This is talking about Jesus. Once for all into the holy place. See, Jesus is the better priest. In the Old Testament, they had to go once a year do this. But he entered once for all into the holy place. Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. Jesus' own blood. Thus securing an eternal redemption for us. See, by using doulos, Paul is saying, I am a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely sold out to his will. I'm willing to do whatever he tells me to do. I'm willing to say whatever he tells me to say. I'm willing to go wherever he leads me. I'm a man who has made a choice. I'm going to serve him for all eternity. Matthew Henry, that wrote, it's probably one of the best commentaries on the whole Bible while he was a pastor. He added that the highest honor of the greatest apostle and most eminent ministers is to be the servants of Jesus Christ. Not the masters of the church, but the servants of Christ. See, what was the function of a doulos? Was to serve his master. Who knows who Paganini was? Nicola Paganini. Nobody? Anybody? Yes. He played violin. Paganini did an interesting thing. He took his amazing violin to Genoa and he said to them, it must be never played. The wood was of such an instrument, while used and handled, wears only slightly. But once you set it aside, it deteriorates totally. So in acts of fact, a violin is only really precious in the hands of a violinist that plays it. And it won't deteriorate so quick if it's in his hands, but if you just leave it somewhere. So that's what Paganini did. He gave it to the city, Genoa, and they just left it in the cupboard. And it started to decay. Paganini's lovely violin has today become worm-eaten and useless, except as a relic. A Christian's unwillingness to serve his master may also destroy his capacity for usefulness. The violin was only good in Paganini's hands, being used. You are good in the hands of the Father. Allow him to use you. I want to stir you on and stir you into the more of God. I want to end off and make this summary quickly and say, what was a doulos? The doulos was owned by and totally possessed by his master. He existed for his master and no other reason. He had no personal rights. He was at the master's disposal 24/7. And he had no will of his own, but was completely subservient to the master. But what about my will? What about my dreams? What about my hopes and fears? What about all these things? My friends, like Panini's violin, you'll become a beautiful instrument in the hands of God when you're used by God. I want to ignite something within your hearts this morning. Don't neglect this. That each one of us, we are slaves to God. Bondservants, servants. And where my father is, where my master is, I also need to be.